When I was asked to put this lesson together about 5 weeks ago, I didn't realize there were going to be at least three other lessons on unity between then and now. So I hope we don't do a lot of overlap. I remember telling you that one of my favorite books was the Book of John, and we're still in the Book of John today talking about unity. Unity can be kind of a vague term. It's a broad term. And sometimes I find it hard to personalize and simplify. Sometimes I can find it hard to actually define. When Adam talked about unity a month ago, he defined this as a state or quality of being one or united into a whole. Now, I think most of us that have been in the workplace are familiar with the concept of teamwork and a bunch of people working together for a common goal. But I want to go in a different direction today. Unity has a lot of faces. And so I want to talk about love. I entitled this, What's Love Got to Do with It? It turns out it has a lot to do with it. I kind of picture this as being like the old time Christmas candy. You know, the candy maker takes one color of candy and another color, and then they twist it together and come up with something new. I think love and unity are that intertwined. I think you can't have one without the other. So I want to explore this idea of love a little bit. 2 weeks ago, I was doing my morning rounds to all the classes, and I walked into the adult class as Mark was making this statement. He says that God loves because of his nature, and we love because of who we are. I decided to make that kind of a micro outline for this short talk today. And then I remembered, there's only two lines there. How do you do a whole lesson out of two lines? What have I gotten myself into? God loves because of his nature. Would it surprise you to know that on his last night, Jesus is praying? Turn to John 17, verse 20 and 21. I pray for these followers, and I'm also praying for all those who will believe in me because of their teaching. Father, I pray they can be one, as you are in me, and I am in you. I pray they can also be one in us, and then the world will believe that you sent me. Wow. Jesus, knowing that the end is near, could have been praying for just about anything. He could have been praying for their safety, their happiness, their success. He could have gotten in one last sermon or miracle, but he is praying one last time for his followers. He prayed for their unity. He prayed that they would love each other. He also prays, and go back to the first line in this prayer, he also prays for those who will believe because of their teaching. That's a future tense, and that means he was praying for us. And this is where it really got personal for me when I was putting this together, because on his last day, he's not praying for himself, he's praying that you and I would be one. Of all the lessons you can get out of that, the most important one is this: unity matters to God. Well, why is that? Now, I think you have to go back to John 13, verse 35 to get that answer. The short answer is love. It's what we're talking about today. Love creates unity. Unity creates belief. John 13 says that the world, the people, will know you are my followers if you love one another. And we sing that in a song all the time, right? We sang it last week. We were singing this when I was a kid sitting around campfires at MCYC. That was back in the Stone Ages. They'll know that we are Christians by our love, by our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Jesus modeled perfect love and unity. How does the world know that Jesus was sent by God? Well, it won't be because we agree on everything or have no controversies and we work out all of our differences. The scripture clearly teaches us that the world knows who we are by our love. When we talk about the nature of God, we are talking about love. God is love. And just remember that on his last day, Jesus was praying for you and I. And then a little while later, he goes on to become the sacrifice for you and I. So who are we? We love because of who we are. Who are we? Where there's faith and repentance and a new birth, there is a Christian. When you meet someone whose faith is in the cross and their vision is on the Savior, you meet a brother or sister, right? And that's Paul's response to the different churches he's working with. When he reached out to the church at Corinth, they were arguing about all sorts of things. One group was arguing about the Holy Spirit. Another group was arguing and abusing the Lord's Supper. And there were lots of other issues. But Paul's response in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 is this. He says, I beg you, brothers and sisters. There's no disunity there. He still calls them brothers and sisters. When he reached out to the church in Rome, they were arguing about whether or not to eat meat that had been offered to idols. And the solution, again, was unity. It wasn't to create a church for the meat eaters and one for the non-meat eaters or anything, but in Romans 15, he says, Christ accepted you, so you should accept one another. And that means accepting ourselves as brothers and sisters in spite sometimes of our differences. Just like unity can lead to belief, the opposite can be true too. Disunity can lead to disunity. And our society is not real good at accepting differences. In fact, I think we're probably more divided than we ever have been. The Christian author Paul Billmeyer may have really been right when he wrote this. He says, the continuous and widespread fragmentation of the church has been the scandal of the ages. It's Satan's master strategy. The sin of disunity probably has caused more souls to be lost than all other sin combined. When we have differences these days, you know, some people get offended, they go off and start a new church. I don't know if you know this, Midland has 139 churches. In 2001, that number was 75. So we are really dividing. The problem is every one of them believes something different and practice something different. There are people that believe in church hopping, where you go from church to church trying to find the one that makes you the most comfortable. Well, I don't think that's what God had in mind. When we read in John 10, still in the book of John, from God's perspective, there's one church and one flock. And that's why unity is important, because God wants us in his flock, not somebody else's. Another Christian author, Max Lucado, wrote this. Could it be that unity is the key to reaching the world for Christ? The world will be one for Christ when the church is one in Christ. Notice the play on words there. The world will be one for Christ when the church is one in Christ. So if unity is the key to evangelism, that makes it pretty important. That's something we ought to be thinking about, talking about, and whenever we can, praying about. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity is important to God. God's not really asking us to do anything that he hasn't already done for us. With my mistakes, my failures, my shortcomings, if I can still call him Father, then why can't I, you know, extend that courtesy to other brothers and sisters? In other words, we accept each other and our differences as brothers and sisters. We preserve unity. Paul reminds us in Romans 14 that we are all God's servants. So, 3 points to leave you with. The world will be one with Christ when the church is one in Christ. And then getting back to the statement that I heard Mark make, we love each other because we are all God's children. We are all brothers and sisters. We accept our differences, and that is who we are. God loves us because of his nature. There is common ground there too. God loved us enough to be praying for us on his last day, or Jesus did. And that led to an all-sufficient sacrifice for us. And now we are free. We get to live in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, the opportunity to worship you. Thank you for all your blessings for us and for making the all-sufficient sacrifice and loving us. Help us to realize that our love creates unity. Unity creates belief, and that kind of unity could be the key to evangelizing the world for you. Father, may your will be done in all things, and may we do and say everything for you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.